How do you do? We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Did you know that? The man in our story did, even as a child. He feared the unknown and death until he met the all-knowing one who abolished death and brought life. Then his fears, as well as his heart and mind and life, were unshackled. Presenting the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. How do you change your ways if you can't even change your clothes? That's a dilemma the homeless face every day as they move about seeking respite. When they come to Pacific Garden Mission, they find the answer to their problems. Since 1877, the mission has been a haven for people on the edge of despair, offering the good news that can change any life. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts to keep the doors open, the mission shelters more than 800 men, women, and children each night. Besides food, fresh clothing, and a clean bunk, the old lighthouse also provides medical and dental care in the mission clinic. Like everything else, free to those without means. Classes and counseling help them make their way back to families and jobs as pastors and counselors open the door to new life. And that's what this program celebrates. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3084 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What in the world?
He's having a bad dream.
I'll go see. What's wrong, Chris?
The grave was swallowing me up.
Oh, it's just a dream, son. Don't worry. Everyone dies at some stage, but it won't happen to you for a very long time, okay? Now go back to sleep now. There's nothing to fear.
Just a child when this dream terrified him. The man in our story would use that dream to help others overcome their fears. This is the true testimony of Christopher Brosnan and how he was unshackled.
I was born in 1986 in Dunedin, New Zealand. The oldest of two sons, we lived on a farm, but Dad also worked as a forester planting and pruning trees. Except for our small conservative school, we were isolated. And I didn't have many friends, so I spent most of my time reading. As a result, pride puffed me up and made me self-centered, which alienated me from my peers. I was 10 when Dad announced we were moving to a city hundreds of miles away. My little brother didn't want to leave his friends, but I was elated.
I'm glad we're moving. Maybe you won't make more friends, but I will. I'm so smart, I'll have lots of new friends. But you don't have anything to attract them.
My brother ran off crying, but I was oblivious to the pain I caused him. I got my comeuppance, though. Going from a small village to a city was a big shock. At school, I was often picked on by other kids. Once, they asked me to get a ball from a classroom, and then they locked me inside. Another time, they threw my lunchbox in a tree. My pride suffered badly, and I rebelled at home.
Chris, are you still reading that book?
Yes.
I told you to clean up your room.
It's Sunday, and I'm trying to read the Bible.
You better clean up your room.
Or are you going to church with my Chris?
Yes.
Well, get ready then. I'm leaving in a few minutes. Do you want to come with us, hon?
You know I don't like church.
Get ready, son. We're walking, and the service starts in 15 minutes.
I'll clean up my room later, Mom.
So, how's school?
Okay.
You're trying to read the Bible?
Yeah, but I don't understand it.
Don't feel bad. I don't either.
I wish they had Mrs. Albiston here.
Who's she?
Well, she came to the school back in Oamaru and taught the Bible.
What'd you learn?
I don't remember, but she knew a lot about Jesus. She was very special, always smiling.
Teaching the Bible in school is not done anymore.
Maybe if I understood the Bible, I'd understand the church service, Dad. I can see why Mom and my brother stay home.
Well, when you're older, you'll understand.
Having so few friends meant I accepted anyone who accepted me. So I got in with the wrong crowd. They liked rock music, video games, and pornography. I often hung around with them and picked up their values. High school in New Zealand is called college, and I made new friends, one of them a Christian. But church was still meaningless to me, even though I went sometimes with Dad. I got my first job at 17, working in a supermarket after school.
This job enlarges your horizons, doesn't it, Chris?
What do you mean?
Makes you want to get an education and do something else. Anything else.
It's better than nothing.
My point exactly. So, what do you want to do in life?
I don't know yet. I like to read, maybe a writer.
Right the wrongs of mankind.
You're funny.
Life is too serious, don't you think?
Yes, it is. You guys seem to have a good time, though.
Yeah, we all go to the same church.
I like the other workers who always seem to be happy, but I especially like Marty. Once I made fun of something he wore and he didn't lash back at me, which I expected. Then one night I came home from work and my parents called my brother and me into the living room.
We want to talk to you boys about something.
What is it?
I'm going to stay with a friend for a while and you boys are going to stay here with your dad.
This has nothing to do with you, okay? It's between your mom and me. You'll get to see her whenever you want.
Is that it?
That's it. We just want you to know what's going on.
They didn't mention divorce, but they didn't have to. My brother and I knew what they meant. From my perspective, they had an average marriage. They fought occasionally, but nothing unusual. For a while, I blamed myself because my rebellious attitude stressed Mom, and sometimes they argued about that. Soon after my parents' breakup, I was working with Marty one night at the store. We were by ourselves.
Do you go to church, Chris?
Doesn't everyone?
Well, my family doesn't. Do you go every week?
No, only on occasion.
Huh. If you were to stand before God today, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say?
I don't know. What would you say?
I would say that Jesus died for my sins and took my place on the cross. Everybody sinned against God, Chris. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do.
God says, the wages of sin is death. That isn't just talking about your body dying. Everybody dies once. It's also talking about the second death, when people are cast into hell forever and ever and ever. We're all going to be resurrected to stand before the judgment seat of God. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go to hell. That's the second death.
What can I do about it then?
Jesus died for your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dying on the cross wasn't the end of it, though. He rose from the grave, proving that God accepted his sacrifice. The price was paid. By man came death. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Because Jesus lives, we can live forever with him in heaven too. We are justified in God's eyes when we believe in him. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone that saves you. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
I've never heard those things before.
It's all in the Bible. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. And if you repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died and rose again, he will save you. Salvation is a gift. All you have to do is accept the gift by praying to Jesus for salvation.
Do I need a pastor?
No. Jesus is our go-between, our mediator between man and God. Talk to God in prayer. He's opened the throne room of God to you.
Really? This is amazing.
Would you like to pray and ask God to save you now?
No, but thanks for telling me all that. I was too embarrassed to pray with him. But as I rode my scooter home that night, I worried that I might crash and die and go to hell. I had to get saved. At home, I headed straight for bed and fell on my knees. My prayers had always been repetitions that I'd learned, but not this night. A poor sinner coming to God, I had no idea what to say. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins that I've committed. I'm sorry, I don't want to go to hell. Please forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm not very good at this. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Please save me, God. Please forgive me and come into my heart and make me yours. Amen. I slept well that night, safe from the old fear of death and hell. What peace I felt, knowing I would go to heaven someday. The next day I told Marty, and word quickly spread to other workers by texting. This was October 2003, and I stopped going to church with Dad when Jesus saved me. So for a couple of weeks, I didn't go to church at all. Then I overheard Marty witnessing to someone who wanted to be saved but didn't want to go to church, so I spoke up. I'm a new Christian, and I don't go to church.
That's not good, Chris. You should go to church.
I thought I had to be invited.
No. The church is where all Christians should meet together to worship God and to grow as the Bible is taught and preached. We grow stronger in our faith and in the knowledge of God there.
I don't know which one to go to.
Well, you can try ours if you like.
What time does it start?
The main service starts at 4 in the afternoon. I'll give you the address.
Okay, I'll go if I'm not busy.
You've changed lately. You seem a lot happier these days, Chris.
I am, Dad. Ever since I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. One of the guys at work explained salvation to me, so I understood why Jesus died for me.
Is that why you put up all those Bible verses in your room?
Yeah, to remind me of God's promises and what He commands me to do.
I'm happy for you, son. I hope your enthusiasm doesn't wear off.
I never understood the Bible before, but now I do.
You'll have to explain it to me.
I haven't been to church in a couple of weeks, but I'm planning on going tomorrow.
Well, that's great.
In a moment, we'll hear how Chris's plans worked out. Homeless men have a long way to go when they first arrive at Pacific Garden Mission, but the men's division is there to guide and help them. Sometimes they stay only for the night, long enough to shower and get fresh clothing, maybe a haircut and a hot meal. But they also get to hear the truth that will make them free, the testimony of counselors who speak the truth in love. Some men are too hurt or suspicious to make the right decision immediately. Others understand with their heart and step into new life. Those men can choose to join the Bible program at Pacific Garden Mission, staying for a year while they grow in knowledge and understanding of this way of life. The mission offers classes and guidance to help them get their GED if needed or brush up on computer skills. The goal is to enable each man to assume the responsibility for himself and his family when he graduates. For more information about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
When I arrived at church, a sign said the service started at 10 a.m., and I thought I had mixed up the times, but what I didn't know was that the building was shared by another congregation. I stood there in doubt until another man came outside for air and took me inside for the service. That's when I learned that church members had been praying for me for a long time. The sermon deeply affected me.
Don't be like the Pharisee who prayed, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." That man was trusting in his own self-righteousness, his works. But God is not impressed with our works. He made us, and He has given us all that we have. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Meanwhile, the publican, the common man that the Pharisee disdained, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of prayerful attitude that pleases God. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
I had never heard so many Bible verses quoted and explained, and I loved it. I went back the next week and heard about an outreach the coming weekend that I was determined to attend. The pastor was surprised to see me and asked me to ride with him as we put tracts in the letterboxes.
Are you saved, Chris?
Yes, sir. I repented and prayed to God for salvation about 4 weeks ago.
Ah, do you have a Bible?
Yes, and I'm reading it every day.
Good. The Word of God is our food, the bread of life. Jesus is the Word that we feed on every day.
I'm learning that.
Is someone discipling you?
No.
Well, I'll introduce you to someone your age who can mentor you.
My mentor and I became friends, and I grew in faith, a spiritual weed that God was turning into a fruit tree for his purposes. Then came a shock that caused my new faith to waver, and I was glad to have a mentor.
Marty has turned from the Lord.
Marty? But he's the one who led me to Christ.
He's turned his back on Jesus, claims he's an atheist again.
How is that possible?
I don't really have the answer. Only God knows what is in the heart of man. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Marty came from an atheist background. He told me so.
Yes. Faith can be a difficult concept for someone trained to prove things scientifically. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
I looked up to Marty.
That's why we can't look to others for our faith. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
I've read that verse. It's in Hebrews, isn't it?
Chapter 12. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Satan never gives up, does he?
No. Look at Judas. He walked and talked with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, and then betrayed him.
Wow. We really must walk with the Lord daily, huh?
Yes. That's why God tells us to be rooted and grounded in Christ and in his love. People will let you down, Chris. But Jesus has promised to never leave you or forsake you.
I had been saved only about 6 months then. But God is faithful, and through his word, he helped me weather that crisis. During that time, our pastor left for his 6-month furlough, leaving elders to shepherd the church. We had a strong youth group, and I had a passion for the Savior that I tried to share with others. Sometimes this led to problems.
How's it going, Chris?
Rough. I'm in the butchery department now. Older people are often profane.
Oh, your chance to be a light in the darkness.
Not likely. As soon as they found out I was a Christian, they targeted me for their coarse jokes and were even more vulgar. What's wrong with them?
They're lost, Chris. They need to be saved. And God put you there to show them how it's possible.
Yeah, I guess you're right. God showed me that most of the people who walk by are on their way to hell.
So don't become bitter. Just remember that you're an ambassador for Christ.
I wish I knew what the Lord wants me to do with my life.
Are you praying about it?
Yeah, all the time. I want to preach. I emailed the pastor, and he told me to ask God for a specific verse.
Good. God promises that he will direct our paths. Just wait on him. You'll know it when he shows you.
As I continued to read the New Testament, God showed me 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I was 18 by then, and emailed the pastor to book me a place in the church's Bible Institute next year. He emailed me back saying, "Amen." I moved out of Dad's house and shared a flat with guys from church. One day, I invited Dad over for coffee.
"You're doing well, Chris. This religion agrees with you."
"It isn't religion, Dad. That's what I had before. Now I know Christ, and he's real. When I asked God to save me, he did. At that point, I received God's Holy Spirit who lives in me. He's made a new person of me."
"Well, you're all different now. I just hope it doesn't wear off, whatever it is."
"I want to explain something, Dad, so bear with me, please."
"Okay."
"This is called the Romans Road. Chapter 3, verse 23 says, 'For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.' True?"
"True."
"The Bible explains in chapter 5, verse 12 says, 'Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.'"
"That one man was Adam."
"Yes." Chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent Jesus to die in our place." Chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
"I guess I never thought about that."
Romans chapter 10 tells us how to be saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
"So simple in a way. How do we miss it?"
"We want to do something to save ourselves, and we can't."
"Nothing?"
"It all comes down to faith in Jesus Christ. You just have to be willing to surrender all to God and believe in him. If you're willing, God gives you the faith to believe."
"Really?"
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
"Thanks for telling me all that, son."
"Trust the Lord, Dad. Jesus loves you, and he'll change your life, too." Dad left with a touched heart and a tract that had the sinner's prayer on the back. The next day, I called him, and praise God, he professed faith in Christ. But my brother and mom resisted coming to Jesus. Several times, I went to see mom. One day, I went around for tea.
"Are you hungry? I can fix you something."
"No, thanks, Mom. I came to talk about Jesus."
"I don't want to talk about that."
"But he offers you new life. He's the only way to God. He said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.'"
"I started a new job in the clothing department."
"The Lord will clothe you with garments of salvation."
"Can't you talk about anything but that?"
"I care about your eternal destiny, Mom. And there's a judgment day and a hell. If you come to Jesus, then when he returns, he'll take you with him. It's called the rapture of the church. But if you don't trust in him, you'll be left behind and face terrible tribulation, and then eternal hell."
"I think you're in a cult."
"It's in the Bible, Mom. I wish you'd read it and think about the claims of Christ. He gave his life for you."
"My life is just fine the way it is."
"Hello?"
"I am still angry about the way you preached at me yesterday, Chris."
"I'm sorry, Mom."
"You have no right to come to my house and do that."
"I just want you to know how much God loves you."
"Well, don't ever do that again, you hear? Keep your religion to yourself. No more preaching in my house. Never."
Her words pierced my heart. I honored her request, but I strived to be a testimony through my attitude and behaviors while at her home. I entered the Bible Institute in 2003, still working part-time at the butcher shop, in the supermarket, still sharing a flat with other guys in church, and still listening to rock music. One of my flatmates took offense, insisting I turn it off. Later, a friend and I were walking across the park one night.
"The pastor asked me to speak with you about rock music."
"I guess my flatmate complained to him."
"Yes.
He really got upset with me, and I don't see why. What's wrong with listening to rock music?
Well, for one thing, the lyrics glorify sin. Rebellion against God's law.
Yeah, but I know better. I just like the music. I don't really listen to the lyrics.
For another thing, most of the rock stars are poor examples for believers. They drink and do drugs, promote fornication, and mock our faith.
You're right again.
Listening to and buying their music supports that lifestyle and will finally drag you into a sin.
You're probably right, but I've grown spiritually even though I've been listening to that rock music.
Take heed lest ye fall. Scripture exhorts us to live exemplary lives. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
I don't think I can do it. Just quit like that. I know myself.
That's not what Jesus said, Chris. He said, with God, all things are possible.
Maybe I can let go gradually. Play Christian music and less rock music.
Pray, and really ask God to help you.
That's what I did. When that friend moved into our flat, I gave up rock music altogether and graduated with honors from the Bible Institute. I've been serving the Lord in ministry to nursing homes, children's church, and working with addicts. Although I'm only 23, I've been serving as assistant pastor at our satellite church. I'm still praying for my mom and brother. I can still remember that bad dream I had about being swallowed up into a grave, but I have no fear of death anymore. I fear for so many others who have not yet come to Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead."
Are you still trusting in yourself, listening friend? Tomorrow may never come for you. We hope you will turn to the living God and trust Him with your soul. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3084. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.